Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
Coming at ya. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. Or, of course, as the great Danny would say, bienvenidos a Smack My Picks Up. How do you like that, Pammy? UFC on ESPN 14, Whitaker versus Till, will take place this Saturday, guys, the 26th. Of course, we have a bunch of fights. We have Bellator going on tomorrow night. I think we have one tonight. Flash Forum, of course, at the Yaz Island in Abu Dhabi. More like a hangar. Shout out as I'm choking on this one. Good Lord. Let's meet the host. Let's get this thing going. Shout out to, of course, my boy Proteus. Proteus, thinking about you. Miss you. Come back soon. We are back with Marco, who I had incorrect information. Marco did not have COVID. Apparently, I got the wrong guy in Texas that had COVID. He was, now I can't remember his name. Ray from San Antonio, I think. Junkie said today that had COVID. So hope he heals up. Hopefully he's doing well. Shout out to Ray. Let's meet our host, guys. Let's go with the first lady of AMP Radio. The woman that needs no introduction unless, of course, she's a blue devil. Hit it!
Hey, bienvenidos, y'all. What's up? Hey, ¿qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa, calabaza? What's going down? It's a hot and humid day here in North Carolina. Oh, my gosh.
Shout out to North Carolina. Is everything open yet?
You can go out to eat and stuff like that, but, you know, still the social distancing thing and stuff like that. And in my office, we're only seeing one patient. Only one patient can be in the office at a time, so. It's just weird. Weird times.
As Pammy would say, coolo. And not
beach,
in a good way.
Man. You know, I'm at the beach. I'm at the beach.
You know, we're looking at your photos.
Beach,
shout out to the beautiful Pam.
You know, well, you know, you can be outside without a mask. So I'm out there. I get out there about 7:30 in the morning before all the tourists wake up. And I stay for an hour, and that's my zen for the day. I'm good.
Just be careful with those dreaded emus. Shout out to the emus.
Oh, I love
Pam,
them.
Let's get the other star of the show, the man who I was mistaken. He was not ill, so thank God for that. Let's hit it.
He's just crazy. He's not ill. He's crazy.
Marco from Ecuador. No, I don't have COVID, but my thoughts are with you, Ray from San Antonio. I'm going to reach out to you as soon as the show is over. Weird times, man. Here in Texas, on the other hand, everything started to shut down again because, you know, Greg Abbott, idiot. But, yeah, masks everywhere. We got skyrocketing cases, people dropping like leaves left and right, dying. It's a mess, man. Texas is a freaking mess right now. I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk some MMA.
Let's do it. Hit it.
Here we go.
15 fight card events. Wow. This is kind of overkill, not including, of course, Bellator and some of the other promotions. Shout out to MMA. Kind of opening back up. Let's start with the women's strawweight we go. And unfortunately, they will not be Careless Whisper at night. That's for darn sure.
Oh.
Carla is talking to you guys. 17-6, she will take on Marina Rodriguez. 12-0-2, guys. The tail of the tape, of course, Esparza a little bit younger at 32. I'm surprised by that. Marina Rodriguez at 33. Here's the discrepancy right here. 5-1 versus 5-6. However, the reach is almost the same. 63 inches for Carla Esparza, 65 for Marina Rodriguez. Pam, I go to you. Will it be Carla Esparza or will it be Marina Rodriguez?
Well, there is too many conflicting information on Marina Rodriguez because I have her listed at 5'7 with the 67 inch reach. So,
ooh.
You know, 2 inches. What's 2 inches? That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. What difference does 2 inches make? Well, let me tell you what. Okay. So you have Marina Rodriguez.
All the difference.
Carla es- ¿Cómo?
It makes all
what
the difference.
Say? Yes.
It makes all
versus,
the difference.
Carla Esparza. 32-5-1-6-3. Carla's specialty, as we know, is wrestling. Marina is a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, practices Muay Thai. You know what? I'm picking Carla on this. I'm going to pick her by a decision because she's a decisionator. But Carla somehow happens to just squeak by and win by some kind of crazy fluke or something. It's just weird. She wins the fight that we don't think that she's going to win. So I'm putting her down as a decision on this one for me, please.
So Pam going with the former champ. I can't believe I'm saying that, but she is a former champ. Carla Esparza decision over Marina Rodriguez. I actually am going the other way, guys. And sorry, all the tail of the tape I'm getting straight from the UFC site, which does vary from time to time, believe it or not. But Marina Rodriguez, guys, she has fought Cynthia Calvillo, who I think is a better jiu-jitsu person than Carla Esparza. Certainly not the same in terms of wrestling, but Jessica Aguilar is not a slouch wrestling either. And Marina took that one. So I'm taking Marina Rodriguez via decision. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Carla Esparza, the Cookie Monster, or will it be Marina Rodriguez?
Oh, man, I struggle with this one a little bit because Marina Rodriguez is my joke, man. She's tall and lanky. And she's actually more of a striker-oriented fighter. And we have seen Carla struggle with strikers. If Carlos cannot get the clinch and take her down, I've seen Carlos got in trouble. I'm going to see her like you, Tony. I'm going to go with Rodriguez just because I think Carla, she is a former champ. Yeah, she beats Rosa Majunas and la la la, but she hasn't evolved as much as I would love to see her evolve for the level that she is. And she tends to win, lose, win, lose, and she's due for a loss. So I'm going to pick Marina Rodriguez by decision.
Marco going also. So Pam going with Carla Esparza, unanimous decision. Marco going with Marina
before
Rodriguez,
you start.
Just like I am.
Before you start. Hey, before you start.
Yes, sir.
Freaking Dana White turning to Scott Coker for this freaking event, dude. 15 freaking fights? Holy shit. Isn't that a Bellator thing? What the hell is going on here?
There's what called dark matches, typically for Bellator. By the way, the odds, Pam, Marina Rodriguez, a minus 175 favorite over the former champ at a plus 155. So obviously a few people are seeing it the way Marco sees it as well. No one's impressed. All right, let's move on, guys. I can't believe I'm saying this, but to the heavyweight we go, and I'm not just talking about Fabricio Verdum. I'm talking about Alexander Gustafsson. Wow. Gustafsson, of course, the favorite, believe it or not, moving up in weight
really?
At a minus 345. Yes.
What?
And that's down, by the way. He was a much greater favorite. Fabricio Verdum, a plus 285. I'm really shocked at that. Tail of the tape, you guys. Fabricio Verdum, 23-9-1. Alexander Gustafsson, 18-6-0. Age difference, huge gap by 9 years. Fabricio Verdum, the senior, 42, versus Alexander Gustafsson at 33. 6-3 for Fabricio Verdum, 6-4 for Gustafsson. Reach, believe it or not, Gustafsson has it as well. 2 inches, a dramatic 2 inches. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Vi Cavallo, Fabricio Verdum, or will it be Alexander Gustafsson, the Mahler?
Okay, these ones are actually right for me. I like the move for Gustafsson to heavyweight after taking a short retirement. a church all the time. He started to reinvent himself a heavyweight. And at 33, that is a very, very young heavyweight, man. Now, Cata de Caballo, or Fabricio, man, he's not 42. He's actually 43 years old. He just turned 43, and he looked like dog shit against Olenek. He looked so bad on that fight. And that is what I think the other, I mean, he was not in shape, and he got outdone by Olenek, man. So the odds are not wrong. The same Fabricio doing shows up the job against Olenek, he's going to get a school. For Fabricio, even though his striking was, you know, much, much improved over the years, you know, with the Muay Thai, he's not at the level of Gustafsson. And for Fabricio to be able to do his jiu-jitsu on the ground, he has to take Gustafsson to the ground too. That is next to impossible. Only, like, besides Phil Davis and Jones and Cormier, no one else take him down. So if this fight stays on the feet, Gustafsson is going to piece out Fabricio. It's going to be ugly. I love this move for Gustafsson to heavyweight, reinvent himself, inject some excitement on the heavyweight division. He got some tough matches if he wins this one. I mean, if he stays a heavyweight, it gets really interesting with the Alexander Volkovs and the Rosenstrucks, JDS, Overeems, and you know, the Cormiers and the Stipes, even though those two might retire, but whatever, or the Enganus. But the Gustafsson of the heavyweight division is a good thing. I'm picking Gustafsson. I'm picking him by KO, and I'm picking him on the second round.
Second round KO, Marco going with going up in weight, Alexander Gustafsson. By the way, didn't he get also taken down by Anthony Smith because he was choked out? So I could be wrong, but that's what I thought. Pam,
in the fourth round. Yep.
Before we go to you, you know what? I'm actually I can't agree with Marco.
I forgot
on
about
this
the
one
Smith man. You're right.
Yeah,
I
remember that one because I was surprised by it. And again, that was the very short retirement. The problem is, guys, I don't know if Gustafsson how much weight he can gain, and I don't know how good Fabricio Verdum.
He was around 240 to 45.
Damn.
The reports were from his. There are like a lot of people get interviews right now from other people. His workaround weight is 245, 240. And he then starts his camp, he trims down 230, and then he does his cut. So now he's a big guy. He's going to be like, the very least 235, and at the toner 245 when he hit the scales tomorrow.
So if that's the case, you know, I still don't know how he'll, like you said, he walks around, what'd you say, 245, you said?
Yeah, that is about what Stipe and DC weight. And Perutuan usually walks around 245, 250. Yeah.
You know what, guys? I, for whatever reason, and it just could be my heart talking, I'm going, Marco actually made me think, but I'm not going to switch. I'm going to go with Fabricio Verdum. I do like, by the way, what Marco said. If I was a smart man, I'd probably go the other way, but I'm going with Fabricio Verdum via submission in the third. I just think that's the way to go out. This is the last fight in his contract. So, Pam, let's go to you. Will it be Fabricio Verdum, or will it be the baller, Alexander Gustafsson?
Hey, man. Alexander looked bad in his last two fights, too. So, call me stupid, man. I'm going with Fabricio. He hasn't looked that great in his last two fights, which is why he retired. So how do you retire and then come back and do a completely different weight class? I just don't see it happening. Fabricio,
that's Connor.
Man, he's got all the talent in the world. Black belt in judo, black belt in Muay Thai, a submission wrestling. Man, I just don't see it. I think Alex is going down. I think Fabricio, this is his swan song. Alex is going down. I've got a first round submission for me.
Wow. Pammy,
wow.
With the first round sub, I can't say I blame you on that one. I'm doing it strictly because I'm just a Fabricio fan, but you're right. I mean, he hasn't looked good in the last couple of fights, meaning the baller, Alexander Gustafsson, but
I mean, right,
Marco
is,
makes
isn't
the point
that why
too,
he
you
retired?
Guys.
Because he kept losing. That's why he retired. So I don't know, man. I mean, hey, kudos to him for having Huevos to do that, but I don't know, man. Those Huevos are getting beat. You're going to have scrambled eggs.
Quick question before we move up, guys. What's next for Verdum? Let's just say he wins or loses. Does he retire or does he go to another promotion?
I think he goes bare knuckle.
Nah. The UFC is not going to let him go because he's still a functional fighter for them to put a heavyweight. You beat Fabricio Verdun, you become a contender. So, no, the UFC is going to keep him around. But besides, remember, he was away for 2 years for that. You saw a suspension or a year and a half because he got a deal. But, no, they're not going to let him go anywhere.
Is he still doing remember he was doing that? He was doing the commentating in Spanish. Is he still doing that?
On and off, yeah. He still does it.
Yeah, I don't know because that was part of the suspension as well, right, which was kind of weird. But let's move up, guys, to the co-main event we go. I'm just going to say it because I can't play the drop at the same time. Mauricio Shogun, hoo-ah! Hoo-hoo-hoo-ah! 26-11-1, guys. He will fight Little Nog, Antonio Rogério Nogueira, 23-9. Seems like Little Nog fights once every 2 years or so. Mauricio, hoo-ah, by the way, 38 years young. Boy, he's been around for a while. Little Nog, 44 years young. Hoo-ah at 6'1". Little Nog at 6'2". 76-inch reach for hoo-ah. And, of course, 75-inch reach for Little Nog. Camp, will it be Shogun?
Yep.
Or will it be Little Nog?
Y'all. Y'all.
Oh, let me give you the odds, Pammy.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize, Pammy. Shogun Hua at a minus 185. Little Nog at a plus 160. Sorry, Pam. All yours.
Did you say plus 160?
160, okay. Yeah.
Okay. This is Antonio's last fight, and he's retiring. Am I correct?
I think so.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, retiring from the UFC is what I understood. So, you know what? I'm sorry. I think this is just a card filler. Mauricio takes him out in the second round by TKO. Short and sweet.
Ouch.
Sorry.
Card filler. Ouch. No respect for Little Nog. I have to agree with you on this one, Pam. I just don't see how Little Nog, at his age and the fact that he doesn't fight very often, I don't see how he wins. So I'm going with Shogun Hua. I say he carries him a little. So I'm going third round TKO for Shogun Hua. Marco, we go to you. Will it be Shogun Hua or will it be...
What is going on?
Someone knocked on his door. Might be Amazon delivery for Marco. Marco, I go to you. Will it be... Marco, I go to you. Will it be Shogun Hua or will it be Little Nog?
Look, this is the rematch nobody was asking about. It should have happened like 10 years ago when it mattered. You know, we got two aging legends. And the caveat on this one is that, oddly enough, Shogun Hua been winning, man. He fights like once a year, but more often than not, he wins. His next wins left and right. The last five fights, he's 4-1. So, and Rogério Nogueira, man, Little Nog, man, I don't like his chances, man. I think the Shogun is going to pack a little bit more speed and power, a little bit more violence, and it's going to end ugly. It's going to get on the second round. It's going to be another TKO there. Give me Shogun, just because. And then we won't see him for another year, and Little Nog is probably just retired for good and join his twin brother on the freaking front porch to talk about the old days when they were like young and full of piss and vinegar. Even Shogun Hua TKO on the second.
Wow, everyone not giving Little Nog a shot. Wow, remember those days when Little Nog and Big Nog were something?
No, we are giving him a shot because we're giving him that he's going to last the first round. So we're picking him with the second round. So we're giving him a shot.
Ouch.
A little bit, but
ouch.
We are.
Darn, shout out to Little Nog. I like him. Gosh. All right, let's move up. And your own country, man. of all things.
I know.
Yeah,
but I had the other one,
guys.
So, you know.
That's right. Yeah, you still have many more options. Tammy, we're going up
go.
To the main event. And this is a fight that I did want to see. I know Marco said no one wanted to see the rematch of Hua and Little Nog, but this one I do want to see. I'm curious to see how Robert Whittaker's head is, guys. Former champ, 21-5, and I thought Bobby Knuckles indeed. And I thought he was, by the way, a fantastic champion. He will be fighting Darren Till, 8-2-1. 29 years young for Robert Whittaker. 27 for Darren Till. I forget how young he is. They're both 6 feet. I'm surprised. I thought Darren Till would be taller. 73.5-inch reach for the Bobby Knuckles indeed. And, of course, not to mention the Reaper, Darren Till, 74.5. Pam, before I go to Marco, Robert Whittaker, the favorite at a minus 130. Darren Till, the underdog at a plus 110. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Bobby Knuckles or will it be Darren Till?
Bobby Knuckles! So, what were we? Oh, Bobby Knuckles! Only enough, the Bobby Knuckles reign was against Joel Romero. He won the title against Joel Romero. That was an interim championship. Then, you know, the championship became the real championship after the Bisping and George St. Pierre reveal. And then he defended against Joel Romero. Very interesting champion reign. The guy is really good. I love Bobby Knuckles. Darren Till was a middleweight trying to fight a world title for a long time. He only got one win at middleweight against Gastelum. And we also what happened to Gastelum last weekend. I don't know what's going on with my man Kelvin, but man.
Go Tuesday, man. That's what's up.
Ouch.
I know. This is a five rounder. This is a five rounder. I mean, Till has been on five round fights before, so it's no stranger to that. The only time that he contended for the welterweight title, he got erased by Tyron Woodley on the championship fight. And every time he goes into a freaking main event, he either checks the bets or makes it true. But I'm still going to pick Bobby Knuckles, you know that. Robert Whittaker, I think, is a little bit better on the feet. He went past his quote-unquote burnout. If he comes up to 400, it's the same Bobby Knuckles that was, you know, the champion and the guy that got into the middleweight title picture. It's Bobby Knuckles fights to lose, man. Till is dangerous. He can crack, but he hasn't shown me enough at middleweight for me to be a believer. So I'm going to take the non-commodity Robert Whittaker. That, by the way, he was also a welterweight before and went up to middleweight, and you see what happened with him. So give me Whittaker, and I give him to me on the points. I think he's going to outlast him until I'll carry him. Yeah, and I'm going to give Till the respect of not getting knocked out. I mean, he's going to be an interesting fight. It's going to be a classic because he still can crack. So give me Whittaker on the points, 48-47.
Wow. Marco's surprising me. Bobby Knuckles, of course. I'm a huge fan of Bobby Knuckles, so I'm choosing Bobby Knuckles with a let's go with the second-round TKO. I'm going Bobby Knuckles. Pam, I go to you.
Yep.
Will it be Bobby Knuckles or will it be Darren Till?
On paper, who's making all that noise? Who's eating, Marco? Go eat your nachos quietly. How can you? I think Robert Whittaker, I think he is probably like one of the most loved fighters, if not. I mean, this guy, I don't even know what to say about him. Boxing, karate, jiu-jitsu, hapkido. He was on a 9-win streak before his loss to Adesanya, and he did have that loss to Thompson in 2014, 6 years ago. Darren Till, he went five rounds with Wonder Boy Thompson. How long ago? 2017. So, cardio. He was coming off a split decision over Gastelum, losses to Masvidal and Woodley. Man, I can't go against Bobby Knuckles. I'm not. This is not going five rounds, in my opinion. I am also picking a second round TKO, Robert Whittaker, the Reaper.
Pam also going with the Reaper all across the board. Pam going with Robert Whittaker. Marco going with Robert Whittaker via decision. I'm going with a second round TKO for Robert Whittaker. Pam, are you going decision or TKO?
Oh, no, I said second round TKO also. But should
wow,
I change
second
it?
Round
you say
TKO.
The same thing?
No, let's keep it. No, let's
okay.
keep it. We have enough
okay.
differences. So I have
okay.
a question for you guys before we move on to last week's card. Okay. Question for
mm-hmm.
you guys is, Bobby Knuckles has been through a lot, guys. Physically, a lot of injuries, and, of course, the fact that he's also battled, I don't know if it was depression or his daughter's illness, but he was kind of out of it. So, Pam, let's go to you first.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that do you think will be will affect Robert Whittaker?
I think it affects him. I think it's going to be a positive effect because I think that whatever had happened to him, I think it's going to give him motivation. I don't see it as a negative because I think, wasn't he donating bone marrow to his daughter or something like that?
I believe so, yeah.
I think so. So I think those are all positive things that were happening in his life. I mean, his daughter was sick, but he did a really positive thing. So I think I think it's going to have positive attributes instead of negative. I think it's going to give him...
I don't want to try to renew your parade, but Robert Whittaker himself denied those allegations that never really happened.
Oh,
he became like an urban myth, an urban legend. But on an interview with Ariel on his Agency One show, Whittaker himself out of his mouth said that never really happened, and he doesn't know how
sure.
that started to come about.
Oh wow.
Because the only reason he took a break is because he was burned out. He was just going through the paces.
No, but there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you seeing that you yourself need to take a break. You know, instead of somebody telling you, take a break. You know.
I understand that everybody thought that because it was all over the news, and I believe it myself. And then when he
mm-hmm.
himself said that. That wasn't the case. I was scratching my head. I was like, oh, wow.
Okay.
But,
wow. All right. I didn't know that. I actually also believed it. So thanks, Marco, for clearing that up because I literally thought it was the other way around. So.
Well, where did that story come from then?
Well, he doesn't even know because he first talked to the guys on Submission Radio and something was mentioned there and he never really denied or confirmed. But then, after the Arizona fight, he cleared the air with Helwane. So, we might be a little bit cruel. He might not want to, make his private life public. I don't know, but he categorically denied it. So, it is what it is, man.
Yeah. And that's understandable, though, to want to keep your private life private, you know?
Especially, he's a classy guy. I don't know. I like Robert Whittaker. Guys, let's go into everyone's favorite, as Proteus likes to say, spotlight fight of the night.
Oh, man.
First, guys, to the women's Batman weight we go. Shout out to Danny. You know what? There will be, of course, no Careless Whisper tonight. That's not a secret. Best Cohea, full fight, Penny.
Yeah.
And I'm going with... Penny Kianzad, just because I think Betch is a little cuckoo. So, for no reason at all, I'm going with Penny Kianzad, just because I think Betch is a little... And by the way, Penny is a favorite at a -160. Betch, the underdog, at 140. Marco, let's go to you. Your spotlight fight of the night.
The Brazilian Cowboy, Alex Oliveira. Give me that dude.
Oh my God, the baby maker.
Win or lose, he always is an entertaining fight, but I'm picking him to win by second round TKO. Alex Cowboy Oliveira.
Second round TKO, Marco going with Alex Cowboy Oliveira. By the way, if you believe
By
Alex
the way,
Cowboy's
I think all
birthday,
second round TKOs today.
If you believe Cowboy Oliveira's birthday. I'm 30 years young. Pam, let's go to you. Your spotlight fight of the night.
Oh, you guys, I've got a banger for you. A banger. Khamzat Chimaev and Rice McGee. Oh, my God, this fight is going to be, I think it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be fun. On paper, this card is amazing. Both of these guys, young guys, 126, 124. These guys are 6'1 and 6'2 respectively, 10 and 2, 7 and 0. Four KOs and three subs for Khamzat, and seven KOs and three subs for McGee. I think it's just going to be fireworks, but I'm taking McKee with the first round TKO. Do we have odds on that at all or not?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we do, Pammy. So Reese McKee, by the way, I don't know if it's Reese or Rice. I don't know. Huge underdog, by the way, at a plus 800, Pam. So you got your work cut out for you because, Khamzat Chimaev, I butchered that, is a minus 1,200 favorite, guys. The biggest favorite on the card. So, Pam, you're going out on the
list. Wow. Hey, man. We'll see.
Wow. We'll see. All right. So, guys, let's get into this. We go, we do the MMA rewind.
Did you see Valentina Shevchenko or something?
Apparently. Apparently.
Well, he's supposed to be like the second coming of Khabib.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, we'll see, because he's a huge, 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 huge favorite. Marco, let's go to the radio rewind. Hit it.
Rewind.
Here we go, Pam. This is your boy's night. Flyweight division, we went. A new champion is crowned, and to be honest with you, as much as I like Joe B., there were way too many chances for him to get that belt. I know the UFC likes him, but come on. Davidson
but didn't
Figueroa.
I pick Davidson?
You did with a submission. So, Pam, let's start with you. Davidson finishes Joe B as he goes out in the first.
Yep.
What say you?
You know, I was hoping, you know, it's like I said, I had picked Davidson, but if Ben had beat this one, my feelings wouldn't have been hurt. But I think Joe needs to retire. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But he's a winner with Megan O'Leary, so, you know.
Big-time winner on that one. Marco, I know you're a big fan of Joe B. Joe B gets finished in the first, and it wasn't even close in the first. Marco, what say you?
Yeah, I think he got finished three times in the first.
He's a bummer, dude. I mean, I know Joe Benavidez. I met the guy. Nicest dude ever. And Megan O'Leary is so sweet. Man, I don't know how to feel about him, man. He should have got that title shot against Seguro, you know, like a couple of years ago, really, you know, instead of being a PJ Dillashaw show. But that is a story for another day. Figueroa is a beast. The guy's a real deal. I mean, if this guy continues to do his thing at 125, I don't see too many people that are going to beat him. I know he got a loss against freaking Formiga. But the Formiga that is fighting now that got back-to-back losses against this Figueiredo will get starched. Good for Brazil because they needed another Brazilian champion. They only got Amanda there for a while. Joseph, man, he wants to have one more and go out on a win. And I don't blame him. He earned that right. He earned the right to go out on a win. So the UFC is probably going to match him up with somebody that he can beat, and then he can ride it to the sunset. But, you know, he's probably one of the best fighters ever to win a UFC championship. It is a bunch of them. I mean, it's a long list, but at least a flyweight, he was always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yeah, Marco's right. I mean, and Pam, by the way, hilarious line. I had to write this down. I think he got finished three times in the first. You know, Joe B., of course, everyone likes him. Good person by all accounts, but there were way too many chances, in my opinion. Let's go to the middleweight. We went, guys. I was completely surprised. Pam and I were both wrong on this one. Jack Hermanson finishes Kelvin Gastelum in the first 1 minute and 18 seconds in. Marco, let's go to you. The Joker, is he the real deal, or is Gastelum just not more Nasrat, whatever his name is, his twin? What's going on with Kelvin?
Who, me?
Marco. Did we lose him?
I got it on mute. My bad. My bad. Look, Castello, man. God damn it, man. He's so good. And then he shoots the bet like this. Now, you mean a fight with Izzy took something out of him, because that was by far one of his best performances ever. And he kicked him out on the losing end, man. I mean, you can make the case that one take that on the fifth round of that fighter, he would have been the champion. But, fake, man. I don't know what to do with Gastelum, man. I mean, the guy's young. He got that on his side. So that is a good thing, but he's in a 3-5 losing streak. And you know who it goes for him to make the cut to 170? He don't like it. He don't like it, and he's not able to make it. So he's going to have to step back a little bit and fight lesser competition, because he's still a name. Kromasin is a real deal, man. I mean, except for the Cannonier fight, where he lost basically on his hometown up in Sweden. But he's from Denmark, but, you know, he was the main feature there on that fight. He's on a big winning streak, and he's not beating chumps. He's beating quality competition, man. The Joker is something to be reckoned with. I think Kromasin is going to struggle with the top three guys in the division. I honestly believe he wouldn't be able to beat the Whitakers, the Adesanyas. Well, right now he cannot beat Cannonier, or even the Costas. But he's a player, man. I mean, he has to be one more quality name for him to make a claim for that middleweight title shot. But don't sleep on the guy, because he can't be. He's very, very good. The guy is very, very good, especially on the ground. Didn't know he got submission from the bottom like that. I know I knew about his guillotine, but now we know. You know, Kromanson, contender, Gastelum. Right now, Gastelum is the gatekeeper position.
Dan, let's go to you on this one. Kelvin, of course, struggled to make 170, goes up to 185, but he's a small 185, you guys. He's not big at 5'9". Like Pam says, Taco Tuesday. Pam, what say you? Kelvin Gastelum gets defeated in the first, recklessly.
I know. Well, I think what was happening, I think Jack Hermansson was excited by watching that Arian Lipsky fight, because he wanted to do the same thing, I think.
ow, was it Tirani of that? Ow!
You know.
Holy crap, that was painful.
Kelvin, and we talked about this before, that I think Kelvin, he's too big for one weight class and too small for another weight class. So it's like, what do you do with him? Do you put him on a more stringent diet and bring him back down to a lower weight class? I don't know. You know, I don't know, because it's not that he lacks in skills. He is very skilled. I just think he's not very disciplined.
I agree with you there. And by the way, shout out to the poor Luana, the poor lady that had her knee. Good Lord. I mean, that was, oh my gosh. That's one of those things I never want to see again. Like Anderson Silva and his leg. Oh, poor girl. And she's one hell of a kickboxer too. Let's go to lightweight. I got a guy that surprised everyone. I still don't know how good he is. Rafael Fiziev defeats Mark Diakasi. Pam, we got that wrong too, by the way.
Oh, we sure did.
And I won, by the way, just because I got Ariane Lipsky right and Davison right. But so did you, by the way. Pam, is Rafael the real thing? Because I don't know.
I don't know. Well, he sure was whooping some ass on Saturday, because nobody knew who he was. Remember, we were talking about the fight, and we're like, I don't know anything about this guy, but we knew Mark Diakasi, and we knew he was a pretty badass guy. But this guy, oh, man, I thought he was going to snap this guy in half with his leg kicks. I mean,
those body kicks.
Oh, my gosh. And then the echo, oh, Dios mío. Ay, Dios mío. It was crazy. So I think he seems like he's pretty much the real deal. I would love to watch him fight again. I don't know who I would put him up with, but I'm definitely going to be intrigued by his next fight.
Are we talking about Mr. Matrix? Holy shit. We're so freaking, what is his name? Mr. Anderson.
Neo.
I forgot the name of it. We saw Neo on the freaking... Neo made it to the UFC, man! Neo to the UFC! I guess Mr. Diakasi was playing the role of Mr. Agent Smith, man.
That guy's good, man. Holy shit. But, I mean, it's not like he's new because his previous fight in the UFC, he came and he lost, but on a good effort. But now he unfolds his full Tiger Muay potential. The guy is the striking coach on Tiger Muay. He's Peter Jan, the freaking bantamweight champion striking coach. So, yeah, the guy is pretty freaking good. I want to see what he got, man. I mean, the Gaethje is one thing, but moving up the ranks is going to be a different game. And now people have taken a look.
Yeah, I think what happened Gaethje turned it on just a little bit too late. You know, I think he thought it was going to be an easy fight.
Yeah, like I said, man, the Gaethje is one thing, but the rest of the freaking division is a completely different animal. But those body kicks, man, like, holy crap.
Ooh.
Who put a baseball bat in that guy's chin? Excited to see what happens next.
Old Aldo. That's what those kicks were like.
Guy kicks hard, though, guys.
Ooh.
I mean, harder than Aldo.
Okay, next.
Guys, let's go with the up-down report. By the way, it's shout-out to Agent Smith, our own Agent Smith, Proteus. I always called him that, Agent Smith. So shout out to my partner, Proteus, Agent Smith. Guys, let's go up-down report. Who goes up? Who goes down? And Pam, I'm going to go first because you know where I'm going. Ariane Lipsky. I chose her for obvious reasons. The problem is, boy, she looks even better than what I thought. Shout out to Ariane Lipsky and poor... shout out to Luana Carolina. I hope she heals well, comes back and starts kicking rear. But my up report, Ariane Lipsky, my down report, guys, Davi Hamosh, man, he's a submission machine and he just lost another decision. Marco, let's go to you. Up down report. Who goes up? Who goes down?
Okay, I got to state the obvious. Up. Davison Figueiredo, the new champion, the guy really showed us that he's a force to be reckoned. And thanks to him, Dana White finally admitted that the flyweights are here to stay. So good for the flyweights. I guess it wasn't Segura, it wasn't anybody else that freaking Davison Figueiredo was going to save the flyweights. It started for another day. But on my down report, it has to be Kelvin Gastelum, man. I mean, I expected more from Kelvin. And losing like that is a really bad look for him. And I told you, he's going to be relegated to the gatekeeper status until he digs himself out of this hole. It might take him a couple of years. The only thing good for him is that he's young. But don't report for Rick and Kelvin.
No, I have to agree with you. Pam, on this one, up-down report, you saw this. Just like Marco, you guys never miss a fight. Who goes up? Who goes down?
Well, I got to say, and this is going to be, I think Davison Figueroa, he was always up, so there's no up-down. I think Joseph Benavidez, there's no up-down. I think the person that stands out to me, that goes up to me, has to be Jack Hermanson, because I think people don't think that he is as good as he is, and that he's kind of like hidden in the shadows, but he's the real deal. I think he's ranked. What is he? Well, he was 11. What is he? Or not 11? I'm looking at my card here. I'm not sure what he's ranked now, but he has to go up. There's no place else for him to go but up. Kelvin Gastelum. I don't know what to do with him. I think he goes down. I think like Marco said, he's the gatekeeper right now.
Yeah,
I mean that's not a bad place to be because. Maybe that'll be a good learning tool for him.
You're right. By the way,
I got a surprise entry here.
Yeah.
Be quiet, people. Angelica, say hi, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Say hi, Pam.
Hi, Angelica.
Hi.
Surprise entry to the I'm Ready program.
Shout out to Angelica. You're gonna like this. Jack Hermanson, now according to the UFC rankings, take that for what it's worth. Number 6, Pammy, ahead of Kelvin and Derek Brunson.
Wow. Even the dog is happy.
Yeah, shout out to the dog. Guys, let's get out of here. as we get out of here, Pam, I'm going to do something different because I know I've been giving out 90 Day Fiancé. Of course, I don't watch it, but I know some people do. I don't watch it. God forbid I watch that crap. Right? But, yeah, I would never watch that. But I have watched Pillow Talk, so shout out to Pillow Talk, Tammy and Veronica Rodriguez in Pillow Talk. We follow her at B-Rod on the IG. VP Rod, I think, is what she goes by. Pam, let's go to you.
Oh,
any Twitter follow the week
for
or,
y'all.
Of course, Guilty
Do you know what I watched last night? I watched Mucho, I think it's called Mucho, Mucho Amor. If you know who Walter Mercado is, Walter y las Estrellas, Netflix did a documentary on him that was amazing.
Is that the guy that does the fortune telling?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's a really good documentary. I agree with Pam.
It was an
he
amazing
died, though,
documentary.
Right?
Yeah, last year.
Oh, my God.
I didn't realize, I mean, I was watching, because I remember when we were watching, would come on, and we were like, oh, you know, get all excited for a horoscope. Walter is on. But, man, I didn't realize the magnitude of his stardom. Tony, if you get a chance, man, you got to watch it. This, he was such an amazing person. A little quirky, but, man, this dude was just amazing, amazing. It's called Mucho, Mucho Amor.
Wow. All right. Now I'm going to watch it, Pam. Shout out to you. Marco, close your show.
Sorry, I got on mute again. So, my guilty pleasure of the week is the Showtime documentary Outcry. Better than that, a high school football prospect, great kid, gets accused of abusing children. But you have to watch to see what the end is. We have it here in Austin, Texas.
No.
It's a five-part series, and you got to see the trials and tribulations of what this kid Greg went through. Watch this freaking documentary, and it's going to be eye-opening, especially about how bad Santa Cis can get for a false accusation. I'm giving it too much now. Follow Connie DJ Tony. Follow Pana Pandora Box. Follow me, Amelda Marcos. Follow producer at Produce. We miss you, dude. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Read and review as Knuckleheads. We're on Google Play, iTunes, Spotify. We're not getting Joe Rogan money, goddammit. look, 2 weeks of fights on Fight Island. 4 fights in 2 weeks. Freaking outstanding. We got Bobby Knuckles and Darren Till this weekend. And then back to Vegas for a while before they go back again. Probably sooner rather than later. We're going to leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
Perfect ending, Pam. And just like that.
Buenas noches, amigos.
And I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.